Well, Happy New Year's, cool guys.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
This is the new and improved Dez. I'm excited about Wheel of Time, and I don't care when season 2 comes out. We're just going to ride this, beat this dead horse into the ground. I'm going to start the third book. You're welcome, Justin.
Damn right.
Awesome. Great episodes tonight, as opposed to our shitty ones. Thank the light, everyone. I am Perrin's gaping maw, and these are my wolf brothers.
I am your apprenticed herb woman in Tanchico.
I'm Rand's missing hand.
Oh!
Or Matt's missing eye.
Oh!
I was going to say, Matt's missing eye is better, but okay.
Whispery? Is that his whispering eye? Is that the one we can't see?
This bong hits, Rover. Stale.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. In 2023, with no season 2 on the horizon, we are just going to launch into all kinds of conversations this year. Desmond's going to start the third book. I still got some bookmarks for book 2, and I'm sure a lot of stuff will come up in book 3, so we're just going to have plenty to talk about. And fuck Amazon.
Yep. I got plans for episode 98.
Oh.
Coming up. It's book 5 or 6. No, there's been some really cool shit that I've come across that there is some stuff with one of the Forsaken. There's some stuff about channeling. I'm going to have to go back and listen to book 5 and 6, but there's like 5 or 6 things that I'm like, dude, these things are, a couple of them are pivot points for like the rest of the series. A couple of them are like informative things about Sidin, Sidar, the Forsaken, the Dark One, the Seals. Yeah, I'm never going to be short of material for this shit.
And anything that's just kind of introducing something, we can jump way ahead with. I mean, but it might force you to get spoilery when you start talking about it.
That's the thing. I'm trying to find. There's a few of them I think that I could get away with that aren't too spoilery. But, you know, there's one when Rand first really starts to kind of have, you know, conversations with Luz Theron in his head, and it's like, starts spouting kind of stuff that he should know, and people are just like, okay, buddy. But it's like, you know, after a while they realize it's not just insanity.
Sorry to cut you off, but speaking of conversations, this is one that we should have. We're going to have it on air. This probably should be a pre-episode chat, but we're going to have it on air in case anyone wants to chime in. How are we feeling about spoilers? Are we happy where we're at, kind of keeping people, you know, who are into the show from having the whole thing ruined? Should we just assume that if you're into the Wheel of Time, you've probably read at least most of the books, and we should just talk about whatever the fuck we want to talk about? I mean, obviously, I'll get spoiled a little bit, but this is all just a big pot of stew to me. Thoughts?
If we decide to go without the spoilers, I retract my first statement from the opening. Both statements.
That was like 2 minutes
That's
ago.
That's not going to happen, I swear.
I had to think about it. I'm like, wait, right.
Rand still has 2 hands, and Matt still has 2 eyes. It's fine.
No one's going to lose a hand. You know, I said I heal that stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
I forget. Fucking Jeremy just dropped 2 massive spoilers.
So here's my thing. I don't think we can avoid spoilers because fucking I'm a big stoner, and apparently my cousin's is even bigger idiot without fucking, you know, smoking weed because he just dropped 2 major ones. I do my best. I know he does too. And I think I feel like we're right kind of in a perfect spot where we do a little spoilering without. I feel like our spoilers are kind of teases. It's like fucking it just is kind of like, oh, shit. What?
Yeah.
What? So, yeah.
Well, we'll use me as our litmus test. And if I start getting through the books, then, you know, if our books get ahead of the show, then whatever. But maybe I'll kind of be the big spoiler line.
I think that's one of the reasons why, and Jeremy, tell me if you disagree, but I'm like, in the books, because I feel like at first people who are going to listen to the show are going to be watching the show. And obviously, they're going to make some departures. So, you know, are we spoiling it or are we fucking completely wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff we could have spoiled from the first season because they changed so much.
That's true.
I mean, honestly, what could you have spoiled?
Yeah, if we had talked about every chapter in the book, the show still would have been a...
Rand is the dragon.
Yeah.
No.
But we knew that by the second to last episode, so...
Oh, I know. They like to throw people in the fucking river in the Two Rivers. You spoil that. They didn't get there. That wasn't in the books.
That was not in the books. You know, I was reading online too. There's some news. Rafe Judkins is going to head up the new God of War TV show for Amazon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Great.
I know. And so.
No wonder it's taking so long.
Yes, seriously.
I was just going to say, so this is going to come out in the spring before they finally release season two.
Yeah. And it's great because, yeah. So, yeah. So 2023, God of War, 2024, season two.
Christmas 2023, hot bath, cold rain.
Yeah, exactly. And can you balefire yourself? Is that a thing?
Maybe Rafe Judkins will step aside and let somebody else take it over who's a little more into the books.
Kind of like J.J. Abrams would do. Just throw a bomb, say, hatch, and then bounce and go make Star Trek movies.
Please don't do that. Please don't J.J. Abrams it. Who are the two guys that he gave it to? Damon Lindelof and what was the other guy? Lindelof is the king of here's the setup and then no ending. Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. Is that what it was?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. That was gonna bring the show to a screeching halt.
Lindelof is garbage.
Whoa!
Garbage.
Boom.
Yeah, everything he's ever done.
That is a strong take.
Hot take. Speaking of hot takes, today we are going to talk about the Aiel, of all things. And spoiler alert, Rand's Aiel. So yeah, we're going to introduce the Aiel. We're going to do The Great Hunt, Chapter 28, A New Thread in the Pattern. It's going to be kind of a long clip. I'm going to jump ahead at one point. So I'm going to skip 30 seconds and then I'm going to skip another 2 minutes. It's going to be about a 6 to 7 minute clip altogether, but I think it's all pretty good. So we're going to do that. So we're going to start at 4:15, The Great Hunt, Chapter 28, A New Thread in the Pattern.
I hear nothing.
Dez, it's not playing.
Oh, it's not playing at all?
No, no.
Jesus, Taddy, fuck. Oh, I see why.
Can you hear this, Dez, or should I turn it up?
Turn it up, bro!
He let the words die as Uno joined them. A human in the rocks, the one-eyed man said quietly. If Flaming wanted me to see him, or I likely wouldn't have. Uno sounded disgusted at admitting it. And his bloody face wasn't veiled, so he's not out for killing. But when you see one bloody Aiel, there's always more you don't. Suddenly his eye widened. Burn me if it doesn't look like he bloody wants more than to be seen. A man had stepped into the way ahead of them. Four steel points hurtled toward the man on the ground. Hold! Ingtar shouted. Hold, I said! I'll have the ears of any man who doesn't stop where he stands! Massima pulled in his horse viciously, sawing the reins. The others also stopped in a cloud of dust not 10 paces from the man. Their lances still held steady on the man's chest. He raised a hand to wave away the dust as it drifted toward him. It was the first move he had made. He was a tall man, with skin dark from the sun and red hair cut short except for a tail in the back that hung to his shoulders. From his soft, laced knee-high boots to the cloth wrapped loosely around his neck, his clothes were all in shades of brown and gray that would blend into rock or earth. The end of a short-horn bow peeked over his shoulder, and a quiver bristled with arrows at his belt at one side. A long knife hung at the other. In his left hand, he gripped a round hide buckler and 3 short spears. No more than half as long as he was tall, with points fully as long as those of the Shinaran lances. I have no pipers to play the tune, the man announced with a smile, but if you wish the dance. He did not change his stance, but Perrin caught a sudden air of readiness. My name is Urien, of the Two Spires, Sept of the Rain Aiel. I am a Red Shield. Remember me. In story after story, Aiel were as deadly and dangerous as Trollocs. Some even said they were all dark friends, but Urien's smile somehow did not look dangerous despite the fact that he seemed poised to leap. His eyes were blue. He looks like Rand. Maybe Ingtar's right, Matt added quietly. Maybe Rand is an Aiel. We are both far from our homes, Ingtar said to the Aiel, and we at least have come for other things than fighting. Digging the points of his spears into the ground and extending his right hand, palm up, his voice became respectful. My water is yours. Why do you call me that? Do you take me for an Aiel? No, wise one, but you have the look of those who have made the journey to Rydion and survived. The years do not touch the wise ones in the same way as other women, or as they touch men. And then with a pride that made him seem to be looking down from a height. The Threefold Land? Matt said. You call it the Waste, Urien said. To us, it is the Threefold Land. A shaping stone to make us. A testing ground to prove our worth. And a punishment for the sin. What sin? Matt asked. Perrin caught his breath, waiting for the spears in Urien's hand to flash. The Aiel shrugged. So long ago it was that none remember. The wise one and the clan chiefs, they will not speak of it. It must have been a very great sin if they cannot bring themselves to tell us. But the Creator punishes us well. I do not know what your wise ones do, but I'll not harm you or try to force you. So the wise ones say, Urien said dryly. Yet even a clan chief must have a strong belly to avoid doing as they want. He seemed to be picking his words carefully. I search for someone. A man. His eye ran across Perrin, Matt, the Shinarans, dismissing them all. He who comes with the dawn. It is said there will be great signs and portents of his coming. I saw that you were from Shinar by your escort's armor, and you had the look of a wise one, so I thought you might have word of great events. The events that might herald him. A man. What are these signs? It is said we will know them when we hear of them, as we will know him when we see him. For he will be marked. He will come from the west, beyond the spine of the world, but be of our blood. He will go to Rydion, and lead us out to the threefold land. He took a spear in his right hand. Leather and metal creaked as soldiers reached for their swords, and Perrin realized he had taken hold of his axe again. But Varen waved them all to stillness with an irritated look. In the dirt, Urien scraped a circle with his spear point, then drew across it a sinuous line. It is said that under this sign he will conquer. Ingtar frowned at the symbol. No recognition on his face, but Matt muttered something coarsely under his breath, and Perrin felt his mouth go dry. The ancient symbol of the Aes Sedai. Varen scraped the marking away with her foot. He walked away smoothly and vanished into the rocks without looking back. Some of the soldiers began muttering. Uno said something about crazy bloody Aiel, and Massima growled that they should have left the Aiel for the ravens. The Aiel thought he was going to die, and he was not afraid. Perrin realized his mouth was open and closed it with a snap.
Hot damn. You know what? I saw him, like, interviewed in this little clip I was watching today, and his mouth is never fucking open. So I'm starting to think it really is kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's a choice, yeah.
And if I ever get to talk to you, Marcus, I'm gonna fucking ask.
Is that an acting choice? Or are you just in awe of what's happening around you? So when Urien...
There's actually a lot to unpack in that clip.
Yeah. So when Urien is talking about the prophecy and how the one will lead them out of the threefold land, does that mean just bring them to a better place? Or does that mean just bring them to battle?
Literally, kind of both.
Yeah, at first it's just pretty much to battle.
Yeah, at first it's to battle, but then after that, yeah.
I think that, after the whole big battles at the very end of the book is over, I'm sure that they don't all go back to the waste. A lot of them will probably stay, you know, there.
Okay, so they don't all feel like the waste is, like, the best place ever. It's just where they got stuck in the breaking. And
well, they don't know any better right now, and they've really, none of them spend any time out of it because people are kind of afraid of them, and it's like... they're kind of like the Mongols. It's just like, don't make fucking eye contact. You know, it's like they and when they did come out the last time, what was it? How long was the Aiel War? Was it 2 years, 3 years?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if it was that long.
It was a couple of years, or I don't even know if it was. I think it was maybe just under a year, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't very long because all they did was come over the wall and then they killed the king and then went back. That's it.
Yeah, they did one thing that was they didn't come to conquer. They just came to kind of like, you know, put the smack down like fucking some street justice style. And then they went back to the waste. So this time they literally come out, I don't know what, maybe 6 months in, and then they spend a good majority of the Aiel spend 2.5 years in the wetlands.
You know what? I look forward to finding out how they're going to pronounce it.
I always said Riudan. They said Rydian. I always said Riudan.
I said Rydian. Rydian.
I always said Riudan.
I pronounced it Hermoin.
Yeah, you were right, though. Everybody else was wrong.
Dead on perfect. The thing is, the H is silent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
So when they came out to kill the king, was the king fucking with them in their land? So they came out to stop it?
No.
Should we say?
It's in the first book, I think.
So the Aiel presented a... Carhaine is right next to the waste. It borders the spine of the world, which is... you go over the spine of the world, there's the waste. They, for whatever reason, gave Carhaine... They gave them passage through the waste so that they could go trade in Shara on the lands on the other side of the waste. And
do you remember why?
I don't.
During the breaking, they let them like stay on their land and give them water. And they remembered that.
Oh.
Hundreds of years, if not thousands of years.
Yeah, that was like right after the breaking, 3,000 years ago. And they gave them water and shade, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But then because of that, they gave them a cutting of this Avendisora, the tree of life, which they're basically, I think, is one or two left in the world, one at the Eye of the World and one somewhere else.
Yeah.
I thought there was one in the Eye of the World, too.
I don't think there was one at the Eye of the World, no. There's just the one at Rydian.
There's just the one. But they had given a cutting of it to the king of Carhaine as like a treaty, peace treaty, and it had been growing. this since then, since the breaking almost, it was this giant tree and he cut it down to make a throne.
Oh.
And so they, Oathbreaker, they call Carhenan tree killers.
Yeah, they do.
And it's like, they, it's like you fucking, you know, Jewel of the Nile style. You burned my dog. You killed my father. You fingered my Bible.
And they showed up and they're like, Wilder? Dijon Wilder?
Dijon Wilder? See, I can't. This is where I get annoying.
Okay.
If it's not about the Wheel of Time, focus up.
It's about the Wheel of Time, but I'm just kind of like trying to look at a map and I still, you know, and I guess I need to find one that has a, what do you call it?
Compass.
Yeah, something that tells me how much space it is. Because this is where I...
Oh, a scale, you mean? Yeah. I always looked at it was kind of the size of North America.
Okay.
Like, not quite as wide, but like, if you cut that out of the middle of North America, above the, you know, where the blight starts would be Canada. The water and the ocean would be like Mexico.
Canada is definitely the blight.
Burn, Canadian. Hey, I'm practically Canadian. I just went and looked at some property up here. It was like fucking 5 minutes from the Canadian border. Like I'm not already fucking there.
Yeah. See, when I look at it, I think of it as like Washington and Oregon and maybe a little bit of Idaho and Montana is what I feel like the size is. So
No. It's much bigger.
For people to, yeah.
I'd say take from like, you know, like that Wyoming, Utah kind of straight shot and then cut at the Mississippi maybe is what I'm thinking. And about as equally as like, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better term, tall.
I if you think about it too, like on the West Coast, it is basically the West Coast if you cut off Baja.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where California is, it basically does that. And then I think it's like 3,000 miles from coast to coast to the mountains. And I think that's what it is.
And we don't know how far it is across the waste of Shara because nobody's been there.
Do we go there?
No.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think there's one scene and it's very short and it's not very.
I thought they were just telling the story about Bow of the Weald, how he went and got that Turangriel or whatever, or the Sawangriel in Shara.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. But you never go there.
The fact that they, yeah, I'm looking at this map and they just refer to the area as the Westlands.
That was one of the things you get later in the book, and they don't talk about Shara like at all. They certainly don't talk about the people very, very, very little that are silk from there. I think that's where the elephants or the boar horses come from. And the menagerie that comes up later. And but I just caught something. I'm in Lord of Chaos. Grendel and Samael are talking and these musicians come up and he talks about how they look weird and the place that they're from is weird. And every woman who can channel has to marry like the son of someone else who could channel. So the bloodline stays pure and they're always tattooed. And the men who are tattooed are basically treated worse than animals. They don't learn to read and they're killed on their 21st name day, if not before. And the females are not allowed to marry anyone who's from a non-channeling like line. But I didn't know what they were talking about. But now I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the Sharans, but I had no fucking clue at that point.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you don't really, you know, they don't really even go to the Shanshan. There's one scene that I can think of where they kind of, Rand accidentally goes there with the Avienda. And then I think.
Yeah, you don't even really know it's Shanshan until after the fact.
And I think that there's maybe like one or two more when they're talking about.
They flash back to some of the blood or something, I think, talking, having some sort of a.
Yeah, I think so.
And they're talking about Fortuna.
Yeah, they pretty much stay in Randland.
I hate that they call it Randland. It's stupid.
There's only three major continents. There's the one with, you know, Randland and Aiel Waste and Shara. There is the Shanshan.
Is Randland, is that at Disneyland or Disney World?
Yes. No, it's a part of New California Adventure.
Awesome. I'm there.
No.
There's also one more place called the Land of Mad Men. And we don't go there either.
Where the fuck's that at?
That's like Australia. It's basically below.
Oh, you just alienated all of our Australian listeners. Way to go, dickhead.
There we go. They're all gone.
This is the newer one, which with the sizes are actually more what Robert Jordan has said. See how much bigger Shanshan is compared to the other picture? He said Shanshan's supposed to be gigantic. It's like almost twice the size.
Oh, okay.
Do you see how it is?
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like an archipelago.
Yeah, it's like, it's got a lot of like, it's like, dude, it actually reminds me of like the Seattle area because there's the sound and there's all this shit, you know?
True. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
And it makes the Aerith Ocean massive, which makes sense. Like a lot of maps bring them closer together.
Well, that's the thing. No one could make that trip, especially when Arthur Hawkwing's armies went, because they didn't have people channeling to make them go faster.
But also, do you see there's a key in the middle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the 3,000 miles. Okay.
So it's far, dude. It's what, 12,000 miles?
So if you took that 3,000 miles and you put that right with the edge of the Io waste,
yeah,
it almost goes to the coast. So you're talking 3,000 miles.
Yeah. Because this one, too, because so many maps show Shan Chan and the Westlands, and then nothing. And I get this image in my head of there just
Wait. Is this world round? It ain't flat like the Earth? Ah!
So that means, so the Shan Chan, well, and again, I guess we don't know if they went west, how far it would take for the Shan Chan to get back around to Shara. But in theory...
Ooh, that's a good question.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if it's only like 400 miles to go in the opposite direction?
It's like a day trip.
Half the year there's a land bridge, you know?
It's yeah. It's called an isthmus, Desmond.
They keep looking out towards the east, you know, and they're like, man, I'd like to get back home. And then they turn around and go, well, wait, what's that? Don't worry about that. That's not
this
home.
Is- 2 days walk. Don't worry about it, man.
I live in Shan Chan. I can see Shara from my backyard.
Does anybody ever venture into the North and South Pole? Or is it just way too just pure ice and just...
Yeah. Well, and then like the Blight, you got to go through the Blight and that's, you'll be dead before that. So
Blight's by it.
I wonder what the Land of the Madmen...
Are there... Oh, there are people in the Blight?
No.
No.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, there's some. There's some. It, by Thakandar and stuff.
Oh, man, well, I don't know if they're people, though. I don't think they're, like, considered people. They're more like...
Dude, fucking Isom. And they have people there. Dark friends live there sometimes.
Is he really, a normal person? He's not really a normal person.
Okay, buddy. Okay. Enough with the condescending tone, right?
You know what, listening back to that clip that you played, you know, they kind of retconned that one section because he was saying...
Yeah, what were you talking about?
So he says, you have the look of someone who's been working with the power for a long time.
Oh, right, because that's a product of...
Calling her a wise one.
But that's a product of the Oathrod. I mean, it still does... they still look younger, though.
No. They look very young, and they could be hundreds of years old, and they still look very young. But they're not... It's not like... You don't look at them and go, are you 50?
You don't get confused. It's obvious. Oh, you're a wise one. Boom.
So do Aiel always travel in packs? Like, is there definitely more Aiel hidden around this guy?
Not always.
When they're leaving, like, Threefold Land right now, yeah, they're going to leave in packs. And
they squat up, for sure.
There's usually a reason. They're not going to just take off on their own unless they have a reason for that as well.
And are they just following prophecy at this point? Have they gotten any kind of wind that Rand has left his home and is, you know, that shit's happening?
That's a great question. You know, now that you ask that, what would... The only thing I can think of is...
The wise ones.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
The thing with Aiel, they... Not all wise... Like, the girls who become apprentices to be wise ones, not all of them can channel, but many of them can. And that really doesn't have anything to do with Godin to Roydian, because the Aiel clan chiefs do it too. So it doesn't have anything to do with channeling, but they go through something like... How do I say this without fucking up? It's kind of like the tower testing in the White Tower when the girls go through the rings and they kind of do stuff. It's kind of like that, but it's more learning the history of the Aiel, and it's not something all the Aiel can deal with. Because it's definitely it's kind of unexpected as far as like who they are. And so some people never come back from Roydian. It's like you go one test to be a wise woman, and then you go back again when they say you're ready. And so it's...
These are Aiel again we're talking about.
These are Aiels.
Okay.
And a lot of the wise ones can do the dreaming like Egwene can.
Yeah. So I think some of it is like, it's a little bit like foretelling. And because they know the history of the Aiel... And, you know, they know, do they have their own kind of prophecies?
They do.
They, I mean, they have like the, you know, he who comes with the dawn. He doesn't say it in that clip, but that's what they call Rand, is he who comes with the dawn, or the Karakarn, which is chief of chiefs in the old tongue. So.
But they also, So the wise ones in the dream world, every once in a while, something will happen and you'll get to see, like, remember how Gwen gets this, like, she gets to see like a vision of what's going to happen in the future. And it just like pops up for her. And I think the same thing happens with the wise ones. And so they know that something's going on.
Yeah, it's almost like a nightmare, but it's a foretelling. Yeah, because like, so, you know, there's a, is it Egwene that has a nightmare come on her? Or no, she starts trying to teach Nynaeve a lesson about the world of dreams and starts kind of like creating little nightmares for Nynaeve to fuck with her. Like the power balance really shifts in that relationship, like book three or four.
There's a third and fourth book?
But yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's all there is. So you're good.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I can do it. I'll get through it.
But in case there's more, just keep reading.
They're short, too. They're not even that long. They're not even that long.
Bang these out in a weekend.
Look, man, it is what it is.
It is. See, what it is what it is. Any last thoughts on Aiel? Obviously, we could talk forever.
Obviously.
But everyone out there, I'm going to try to keep these episodes to a nice bite size, just because we got
He's doing his best, folks.
Because we got a lot to fucking talk about.
Wasn't even my fault.
It was not.
No, it's perfect. We got a little bit of a late start, and it was a long clip, so.
Stay tuned for the next episode. It will be his fault.
Especially if I keep drinking.
Yeah. I know, Justin, when you said you were ready at 2 this afternoon, I was like, oh, fuck.
You're like, fuck.
Or are we going?
Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Aielman. That's right, people. Talking about the Aielman, we are at Parse Aielman on Twitter. Send us questions and comments and your thoughts on spoilers to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. We got a shout out to Sabzilla 420 from Romania. I love it. Makes my commute way more fun. Thank you, Sabzilla. Hell yeah.
Yes.
Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy and spirituality, time travel, movies. We just did a great episode on Time Pop. If anyone out there has listened to Case 63, our Case 63 episode is out there, and it is going ballistic. Like, this episode has tripled our most listened to episode in history in 2 weeks. We've had episodes that are 3 years old, and our two-week-old Case 63 has buried it. Fitness and, nutrition and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine free podcasts. My water is yours.
Hey, hey, hey. Smoke weed every day.
And I'm going to do my best to not do any more spoilers. So, okay. So, no spoilers.
So, no spoilers except kind of sometimes. Except, you know.
Oh, wait. I meant...
Dang it.
See you next week.
Here's a spoiler you can get into, folks. Next week on Thank the Light, we're going to be talking about the Sean Chan. So come on back now.
Believe it or not, talk about Sean Chan. Jail.
He basically establishes the world and then brings somebody in and goes, no, we're going to try to just, there's a whole other continent that's going to try to take over this world. Second book.
Like Negan.
Like Urkel.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I haven't said this year yet, Jamie. I hate you.